Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Let's get back to your phone calls here. And John is up next in Kentucky. Hello, John.
Hey there. I got news from Moorhead to Murray, and I'm from Moorhead. We've got him now, a quarterback for the future.
Cutter Bowley.
Cutter Bowley, I understand that Notre Dame, Alabama, Tennessee, all the big ones got him going, and he's not a little guy either. He's 6 foot five, and I hope he brings Kentucky up to some of the other norms.
John, I hope so. Thank you for sharing that information. We mentioned the story at the top of the show today, story out of ESPN by Pete Thamel, how an unfinished TV deal led to an unexpectedly hectic first month for the new Big Ten commissioner. And we're joined by Pete to tell us about that. Pete, thank you for the time. It's interesting that all this falls on a week when Kevin Warren, the former head of the Big Ten, is one of the finalists for Executive of the Year by the Sports Business Journal. He received much praise for the deal a year ago between Southern Cal and UCLA to the Big Ten. But in reading your piece, apparently he left a few things undone. Good afternoon. Tell us all about it.
Paul, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. There's certainly on the campus level between high-profile coaches and numerous athletic directors some discontent and some of the loose ends that Kevin Warren did not tie up before he left. And there are some large bills that have surprised a lot of these schools and some details with the NBC deal that were not ironed out, where there's varying sides of how they're going to get ironed out, just in terms of where the responsibility lies. Was it the historic tolerances that the league had always had to have schools not play at night in November, or late in November, I should say? Or should those schools say, hey, we just signed a multi-million-dollar primetime TV deal. We have to change our ways. So There's sort of numerous dueling tensions here, Paul, and in the end, I think most of the discontent comes from athletic directors who've been surprised, and their CFOs, that there are somewhat large bills. Now, is it large compared to $7 billion? No, but if you're on one of these campuses trying to figure out the bottom line, and you suddenly find out that you have $5 million more dollars that you have to find in a year, that's a lot of money. So it's a muddled situation, and certainly there are multiple people who told us on the record they're not pleased with how things were left, and it's left Tony Petitti, who enters as one of the as the new Big Ten commissioners, one of the most powerful people in college sports, sort of sprinting to get things done and resolved, because we kick off football in 3 months, Paul.
Pete, it's not as if Kevin Warren left the job on a Friday and flew into outer space with Jeff Bezos on Monday. I mean, he was still there for a while, if I remember correctly. He went to become the head of the Chicago Bears, whatever pressing needs that job entails. Is there any explanation on why he left a rather dirty desk?
Nobody really dove into the why. I think there was so much looming when Petitti took over. It's just been a sprint to figure out the how to get this done. My understanding, Paul, from talking to people in the television landscape, is that it's extremely rare for long-form deals to not be done 3 months before kickoff. These deals were obviously announced to much celebration over the summer. And so there were details that were left unsettled that need to get settled in order for these contracts to get finalized and for the games to be televised here in September.
So I'm assuming that is all going on right now. Other than a couple of million here and a couple of million there, are they going to make all these things work, or are there some things that are simply untenable?
I don't think anything is untenable, Paul, but there's horse trading was the term a bunch of sources used, and the horse trading involves schools playing games that they might not want to normally play. It's schools playing games that they weren't informed that they had to play, that were scheduled in short weeks and different things like that. Competitive advantages getting mixed up. There was a lot of salute in the Big Ten to places like Michigan State, places like Penn State, places like Ohio State, to play games they weren't expecting to play at times they weren't expecting to play them in order to make this deal work.
Pete Thamel with us. Pete, if we could go back to Warren for a second, and I don't cover the Big Ten that much. I run into some people from now and then, but in recent 2 years, I should say, maybe three, there always seemed to be this undercurrent about him that people, in spite of what looked like good deals being done, what looked like progress being made, and I'm talking about post-COVID, there was always a lot of sniping, most of it unattributed. You've got it on the record now after the fact. Is there, I realize I'm asking you to theorize on why you think so many people were seemingly rubbed the wrong way by him, but give it a shot if you could.
Well, Paul, I think Kevin Warren did a lot of good when you look at the totality of his time there. Obviously, the move to bring in USC and UCLA was certainly historic. It certainly changed and indelibly altered the landscape of college sports as we know it. His name and his signature are on a lot of transformative things that have happened in college sports. And I think upon doing that, because of the way he entered in 2020 in January and then some of his struggles during COVID were really a lot with communication. And I think a lot of these details that were left unresolved when he left tied back to communication. The same thing he struggled with in 2020. When you look at the quotes from Ward Manuel in my story and you look at the quotes from Tom Izzo in my story, they felt like there was not a transparency from the league office on what was going to be done. And they didn't feel like they were checked in with in terms of some of the details of the deals.
Finally, if I could talk about a new member beginning next year, and that's the situation with SC. I know this has been your main concentration, but you know Mike Bone. You apparently communicated with him the other day. What do you make out of this story that is growing and apparently is very ugly for not only him but for the university?
Yeah, I look, Paul, from the outside, USC investigated some claims about Mike Bone, and they seemingly found enough to prompt his resignation. I think how badly they wanted to get rid of him and how bad they deemed his acts to be, well, a lot will be determined when we find out what he ended up making from USC to leave. All those details, because it's a private school, are muddled. We'll probably find out in the 1090s in years to come. But USC, at a very critical juncture for its athletic department, chose to part ways with a veteran athletic director who, again, like Kevin Warren, had done some good things. He obviously brought in Lincoln Riley as the head coach, and he obviously led them to the Big Ten, which is unprecedented money and income coming for USC. So It's a serious situation out there on the West Coast, and it opens up, Paul, one of the most marquee athletic director jobs in the whole sport, and it does so very suddenly.
It does, and not to round up the usual suspects, as we say in the movies, but is there anyone or any group of people that you have heard emerging for this position?
Well, I think, Paul, what's changed for a job like USC from the last time it opened, and they certainly have had a flurry of hires there that have backfired pretty spectacularly when you go back to Pat Hayden and then Lynn Swann. This time, USC is on the other side of the moat. They are amongst the best jobs in the Power 2. So I think when you really look at USC candidates, you can look at the best of the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big 12, and they should have the financial wherewithal and the gravitas to lure some top names. Is that Jen Cohen at Washington? Is it Mac Rhodes at Baylor? Could it be one of the top ADs up and down the ACC? But there will be no lack of people clamoring for the job at USC. It is much more stable than when Mike Bone inherited it, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Pete Thamel from ESPN joining us on the Big Ten situation and Southern Cal. We head to the break on this Monday afternoon. Your phone calls around the corner.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back, and Mario is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. First, War Eagle for Tammy and her family.
Thank you.
A comment and a question. The Bama guy a while ago that called, and you have to laugh. Bama arguably has the best this, and arguably it's the same thing every year, isn't it? When the numbers don't work, it's always, oh, we have the talent, the coaching. How many times have you heard that? Anyway, as Coach Dye said, it doesn't mean anything to Auburn people. Can you expand, you know, Heisman coaching at Auburn? I don't think we market that enough because it's impressive. How much do you know about that and him starting the forward pass at Auburn?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing I've heard about Heisman is, and I can't remember whether it was why he went to Auburn or why he left. I just heard some. there was a backstory there that I remember hearing one of the first times I ever went to Auburn, but. I don't think anyone knows he. I mean, unless you've been around the Auburn program a long time, I don't think very many people know what he did there and when.
Yeah, we had that bust of him. He coached there, and the rumors is he started the forward pass at Auburn, but it's very impressive. So shout out to I-Man, and thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, again, he was there in the 1890s. That could be one reason why there isn't a lot of conversation about it today. He was there for – he wasn't there very long either. He was there about 1 year. He was also at Clemson. I don't hear any talk about that either. All I hear about the trophy. I wonder why. Randy is in Georgia. Randy, good afternoon.
Hey, folks. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
I just want to let everyone know that there's 96 days until football kicks off. And I wanted to see which week one matchup are you looking forward to.
Randy, in the first week, I have all eyes on LSU and Florida State. What about you?
I'm looking at the that was a good one too, but I'm looking at South Carolina and North Carolina. I think that was going to be a good in-state rival.
I think South Carolina and North Carolina, that game is in Charlotte, which is a midpoint on the South Carolina border. I think that's an important game. North Carolina got off to a terrible start last year. I think they lost the first game, and it never got better. And South Carolina had that roll at the end of the year with the Tennessee and Clemson wins, and then they let it get away a little bit with Notre Dame. And can you imagine if they'd won that trifecta? Yeah, and then added North Carolina to this, but so they need that game badly because of some of the reasons I mentioned about an hour and a half ago, and that's they're on the road, Florida. They have Tennessee, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas A&M in the first half of the season.
Well, you know, Georgia's gonna beat South Carolina, but I believe Georgia is. Yeah, you know, we're the
by the way, is the Georgia game in? I think the Georgia game may be in. That game is in Athens. The Tennessee game is definitely in Knoxville. So, Randy, thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. Jimmy is in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
First of all, love your show.
Thank you very much.
I want to give a shout out to Brock Bowers.
Okay.
And Stacy Searles. Stacy Searles is from my hometown, Tryon, Georgia. I want to give him a shout out.
Well, you have done that, and I'm glad to hear it. And I hope both of them heard your shout out. I know I did. John is in Texas. Hello, John.
How's it going, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Well, I got a couple things. First of all, I would like to tell you about a guy in Texarkana, Texas, at Texas High, that was the radio broadcaster for the last 12 years. He taught me many, many things about radio, doing football games. And he was an absolute angel to people in this area. We have several different areas around here with schools and football teams. And he was a guy that did not stop learning, did not stop loving, did not stop doing what he did, and that was call high school football. It didn't matter who it was when it was in the playoffs. It didn't matter what team it was. But the main thing is this guy loved what he did, and he lost his life last week. And he was a retired policeman. He was a great, great, great man, and his name was Keith Schutte. Just a great man of God. And I just wanted to give him that shout out. And I would hope, you know, that everybody that listens to high school football on the radio well, just understand that, you know, these guys don't get paid to do a job for the money. They get paid to just pay their way. And he was just such a great, great guy. He helped me through a lot in my personal life. This is my first time to call Paul, and I'm still reeling right now. You know, I hurt for his wife Terry, his kids.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you, John. Tell us more about him, and I mean, I know you've described him, but what happened, and how is he being remembered by the community? And I know many communities.
Paul, I went to the viewing the other night. I was late to work an hour and a half, and my work said, no problems. You just get here when you can. I would probably say there was probably 2,000 people at his viewing.
And where? What city was this in?
Texarkana, Texas.
Okay, Texarkana.
He is from Hooks, Texas, the home of Billy Sims.
Wow.
He was a dirt tracker. You know, he raced dirt track. That's where I first met him. But the man was just so. He just loved people, and it didn't matter who you were. If he walked in a room. It was, you know, he had his ball cap on and his button-up shirt. That's just the way he was. It didn't matter if he was going to church or, you know, going to an event. He's going to wear a ball cap and a button-up shirt. He was a police chief. He was just a good guy. And I just wanted to take this platform and just let the world know that there are guys out there that call these games, that do it for the love of the sport. And that's what he loved to do, was be on the radio. And I was so, so happy to be with him for 3 years on football on the radio. And there will not be another one after him.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, John. And I know that many people in that area will remember Keith Shute, and certainly you have honored him very, very poignantly by sharing what you said, and I deeply appreciate it, and I hope everyone who knew him will remember him and continue to. But I'm glad you mentioned that thing about high school football broadcasters, because I covered high school football early in my career, and there's nothing quite like those Friday nights. And the people that, whether it's the broadcasters, whether it's the concessioners, whether it's the people that work in the parking lot, or those who take the tickets, or the fans, I mean, that's pure dedication. And
yep.
I know
it was a fun time in my life that I got to do that with him. And I got one other request.
Of course.
Can my daughter Nora say hi to you?
Absolutely.
Say hi, Nora.
Hello.
Hey, Nora. How are you? How old are you?
8.
Well, you.
I play soccer.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. You've got. I don't know your dad well, but you've got a great dad, and you should feel fortunate.
Thank you, Paul, and. Let's go. Let's giggle Maggie's, all right?
Let's do it. Well, and again, thanks so much for talking about Keith Shute, who, I mean, what a career as a police chief, a policeman, and a great broadcaster in the Texarkana area. We'll take a short break. We are coming right back.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and John is up next in Plano, Texas. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Paul, I know we've been talking a lot about the Mike Bone resignation, but in my opinion, that was only the second most insignificant event last week. I think the most significant one, and the one that really presents the most potentially significant impact on college football, as well as college basketball in the whole, was the filing by the National Labor Relations Board on May 18th, in which they sued USC, Pac-12, and the NCAA for unfair labor practices by treating college football and basketball players as student athletes and not as employees. And I know it's going to take probably a year to go through the administrative process, but if the NLRB rules that these college athletes in football and basketball are employees, then that's going to open up collective bargaining. That's going to open up direct payments by schools to their athletes. I mean, that's going to have an effect that's going to be just as great as the arbitration ruling back in 1975 that basically did away with the reserve clause and introduced free agency into baseball and then other sports. And I was wondering, I don't know if the two are related, that Mike Bone resigns a day later, or if you have any thoughts about this, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah, John, I don't think you could miss the connection, but I do think in the Mike Bone situation, the other things were building up. That may have been the final straw, but I'm not sure you could put it all on him. However, I do agree with you. We had Darren Heitner on, I believe it was Friday, and this is a potential big moment. You mentioned the reserve clause. That's a clause that I believe, didn't that go to the Supreme Court? And, you know, with Curt Flood, and that ended up changing sports as we know it today, especially baseball. So I agree. I think we're pretty close to that moment in time when we quit using the student athlete moniker and we start calling it what it is.
Well, I think that's where it's leading, and particularly the NLRB is very much affected by whatever administration is in charge, and they would not have filed these charges unless they knew that there was a good chance that which way they're going to eventually rule. And, of course, this could prod Congress getting involved, et cetera. But I just thought that was a really big move.
No, I'm glad you did. It's a point there was not that we briefly talked about on Friday, but it's a critical point. And as you know, the NCAA has been in Losersville right now when it comes to court rulings. They got murdered on the Addison ruling, I believe, 2 years ago with the Supreme Court. They cannot catch a break, and they're not going to. And Congress is critical, and so is the administration. But right now, this administration, I would think, would favor the athletes.
I agree. Well, it'll be interesting to see what develops on that end. So I just wanted to
well
bring
said.
That up.
Well, thank you very much. And that's another thing about Congress, that all this conversation about, you know, Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin, that's going nowhere. I mean, I know people that have met with the highest people, highest levels of leadership in the House and Senate, and there is interest in solving the problem, but there aren't the votes. I mean, just look at where we are at this hour with the debt situation. That's all about the politics of Washington. And there aren't enough people on both sides that are going to find common ground on this issue. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Chuck, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, but I would have to give the credit to the most loyal fan base to the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
I mean, I'm in the South. I don't get to see a lot of the other teams, but South Carolina has some Horatius years, and their fans keep coming. I'll have to give it to them.
Well, good to hear. Thanks for the call. Jared is up next in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jared.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Paul, remember the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark issue that happened, the women's national championship game, the taunting issue?
Yes.
That everyone was upset about? How come no one was upset about what happened? I don't know if you're following the NBA. Last night, or I think it was last night, Jimmy Butler did a go down on one knee and timeout call to mock Al Horford, kind of in a similar fashion, but there was no outrage about it. I found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do too. I think the whole thing with Angel was vastly overdone, and I think the president's wife entered into the conversation, and so did a million other pundits. But that was a media creation that more than anything else.
Right, right. And one other thing, if I may, I want to thank all the Georgia and Alabama people, because the Philadelphia Eagles have a great football team. Go Birds!
Got it. Yeah, when we were with Kirby Smart the other day, someone, I think it was Charles Barkley who joked with him about being the de facto coach of the Eagles. Melissa is in Indianapolis. So hello, Melissa.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
We're okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Thank you.
You know I'm a diehard UK fan, and just want to check base with you. And what do you think about Calipari's stuff going on, and then Mark Stoops? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. In terms of Stoops, I think you know, he's doing what he has been doing, and that's having built a very credible program that he is hoping he can take from this level to the next. As far as John, I think this is a really big year. He's got a phenomenal recruiting class coming in. Have we ever heard that before? And I'm really interested in how the reaction from the fan base will be. We may have a chance to talk to him. Hopefully, we often see him when we're down in Destin, and I would very much like to talk to Cal when we're down there. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls. We've got a lot of guests. We'll go to L.A., I should say, in the next hour, find out how the Mike Bones story erupted from the man who broke it for the L.A. Times. More of your phone calls right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Kebo is up next.
That's a no-brainer, Paul. That's a no-brainer, Paul. Seriously.
I thought it was.
Alabama, of course. I mean, that's all they have in their lives to do is to watch football. You know.
What's wrong with that?
You know, drink. Well, I guess you got a point, Paul. If you want to be a Neanderthal mentality, I guess so. But
I don't know. I lived in Alabama a long time. I thought it was a pretty good place.
It is a good place, Paul, but there's more to life than football.
Oh, no, no. Tennessee, right? Kevo, there is not more to life than football.
I'm sorry. Are you going to block me now, Paul?
I just did.
Yeah. You remind me of my ex-wife. By the way,
now, Kevo, I have to draw the line somewhere. I mean, I it couldn't be that bad, could it?
Paul, we'll talk some other time. Okay. I don't want to cry on national radio. But I got an idea for the show, Paul.
Sure.
How about, since I have a journalism degree from Auburn, which I have never utilized much, I will interview your callers in the local area of Birmingham, Alabama, in video clips, and we'll send them in to you to play. 2-minute clips maximum. That's all people
like
can tolerate, probably.
Remember, one time, didn't we used to have video calls?
Yeah.
What happened to that?
No, on this show?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that would be Jim, probably not me, Paul.
No, Jim's Jim has never been seen in, I mean, I know he's been seen in public, because I know people have seen him, but he's never been seen by anyone connected to this show.
When I think of Jim, I think of Howard Hughes, Paul. Living in Brazil, in that room by himself, scraggly hair.
Howard Hughes was a billionaire recluse.
Yes, sir. And so is Jim.
Never cut his nails. Didn't they find him with nails that looked like 10-inch nails, nine-inch nails. I was thinking of the Rock Group.
The Rock Group. But, yes, Paul, by the way, we talked about the golf tournament. You saw that Koepka won.
Yes, he sure did.
Yeah, my guy came in second, Hovland.
Yeah, no, I think we mastered that. Those were our two picks.
Yes, sir. You're right on there. But, hey, I actually have been listening to the show. I didn't know what y'all were talking about, but I kind of guessed what you're talking about would be college football. So it's good, Paul. I appreciate you, man. God bless
Kevin,
you.
Kevo, great to hear from you. Beware of your ex-wife. Mm. Shouldn't most people?
Yes. That's a good warning.
That's what I've always heard. Trey is in Texas. Hello, Trey.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you doing today?
Trey, we're doing great. Thank you.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on how do you think LSU will do this year and how do you feel about Jaden Daniels?
I like Jaden a lot, and I like LSU. The only game right now I'm not sure LSU can win is Alabama.
I understand. Thank you. That's
Thank
all
you.
I wanted to know.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a reasonable schedule. Again, we're talking about the SEC, so let's not get carried away. But they have Arkansas at home. That's always a tough game. Florida at home, Auburn at home. They're at Alabama. And they have A&M at home. So I think they have some of their toughest games at home. They need to win that first one, though, against Florida State. Les is up next. Hello, Les.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
We all know that there is a huge divide between the haves and the have-nots in college football. With the transfer portal and NIL, and then now all this new conference realignment, there's probably going to be, in the next 5 years, only 30 to 40 teams left that can actually make the 12-team playoff from the way I see. I've always been worried about what happens to the UABs, the Louisianas, the Memphises, the Southern Misses. But with conference realignment, we're going to have to start worrying about what happens to the Arizona States, the Kansas States, the TCUs, all these, because I don't believe there's going to be but two conferences that are going to be able to put anybody in the 12-team playoff. What do you think about that?
Well, Les, I'm sure some would argue from Fort Worth that TCU just made the playoffs a couple of months ago, but I would argue back that you are mostly correct. There always, in any sport, will be an outlier. I mean, look at the NBA playoffs. Who had Miami going this far? But, the Lakers, by the way, were almost out of it 4 months ago, so things can change. In college football, though, there may be, I think for the most part, some of the schools you mentioned are not going to be a factor. I don't think they can compete. Stanford 10 years ago was one of the top programs in college football. They're nowhere to be found right now. Why? Because they can't, they don't have the money. They have the money at the university, but they don't have the disposable money for athletics.
Let me ask you this, Paul. A few days ago, at the end of one of your segments, you mentioned in passing – that you thought in the next 5 years that college football was just going to blow up, and you kind of hinted at something bad was coming. What were you suggesting there?
Well, I think nothing cataclysmic is on the horizon other than a financial crisis, a crisis that we already have now the power two. You heard Fammel make reference to that. That's going to that will be a common phrase you hear. The power five is no longer really a phrase that's applicable to college football, because the Pac-12 and the ACC and to a lesser degree the Big 12, while relevant on the big stage, are not relevant from a financial standpoint. And we haven't even seen these new contracts go into effect. The SEC is still a year away from hitting the mother load, and the Big Ten is in the process of happening. I mean, I don't want to be dismissive. I mean, the Big 12 has some really good schools. The ACC does. The Pac-12 really won't. But they cannot. When you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollar differentials, it just doesn't work. Speaking of the Pac-12, they're about to be former member is in crisis. We'll find out more about that coming up next. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.